We know that infants and toddlers need stimulation for brain development, but what is the right kind of stimulation? And does too much of the wrong kind of stimulation actually harm the brain?
If you think of the newborn brain as a work in progress that is fine-tuning itself to the world in which it's going to live, the kinds of early experiences that infants have shape the mind for later tasks. So we know from decades of research that so-called good stimulation leads to improved function. There have been studies, for example, done in mice where you raise them in enriched environments and then test them compared to control mice with their ability to learn mazes or to perform the kinds of tasks that assess mouse intelligence. And mice raised in enriched environments not only perform better on those tests, but if you look at their brains under the microscope, you see that their cortex is actually richer, denser, larger than the control mice. Now, obviously, we don't do those kinds of studies in humans, but observational studies have shown the same thing. So, for example, children born or rather raised in the Romanian orphanages, which were profoundly neglected early in their lives, didn't develop certain capacities at all later in their life, and in fact weren't capable of learning later as a result of significant deprivation. So we know from both observational and experimental studies that early stimulation is key, but it has to be the right kind of stimulation. It has to be the kind of stimulation that helps the brain develop to function in the real world that children will live in. And for some time, in my lab, we've been concerned about what we call the overstimulation hypothesis. What this means is that if you overstimulate the developing brain or inappropriately stimulate the developing brain, it can lead to problems with attention later in life because the brain comes to expect that hyper level of stimulation that can't be achieved under normal circumstances. And as a result, school-aged children find real-paced events boring. They're underwhelming, and they have difficulty in what we call executive function.
By overstimulation, do you mean certain types of TV shows?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So the overstimulation hypothesis is not per se limited to television, although that's the model we've used to study it. But think of it this way. Our brains evolved over millennia to process events that happen in the real world. And events that happen in the real world, by definition, take place in real time, right? You can't have something happen in the real world faster than it could happen in the real world. The exception to that is, of course, media, which make it very possible to speed things up, to create surreal pacing and overstimulation that can't be achieved in the normal experience of a developing baby. The kinds of stimulations that for years parents have provided to their children, whether it's singing to them, talking with them, interacting with them, all of those things are good and by definition are taking place in normal time.